This is Clayton for The Cashflow Show in association with Podcast Radio Business. We're joined by Mike Williams, co-founder of Flakebake and winner of the Channel 4 program Aldi's Next Big Thing. Thank you for joining us, Mike.
Thank you very much, Clayton. I'm very pleased to be here today.
You're most welcome, sir. First of all, before I do anything else, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
So tell me, winner of Channel 4 program Aldi's Next Big Thing, how are you feeling?
Wow, I'm overwhelmed, overjoyed, you know, ecstatic, sometimes nervous, actually, because, you know, when you're in the sort of face of success, you do get a bit nervous because it's all new to you. You know, yes, I expected some of it, but some of it I just didn't expect. You know, life just seems like it's changed overnight. It really, really has. You know, I've gone from that guy that ran this patty business in South London no one really knew about to the next day I was at the Jamaica High Commissioner's office taking photos and having conversations of how they can support this business. So yeah, it's an amazing thing.
Bill Withers, the singer, Ain't No Sunshine and all those other records, Lean On Me, he once said, it's amazing how more attractive fame makes you look to people.
I guess that's what it is. Lots of people now are reaching out to me.
And that's a good thing. That's a positive thing. Before we talk about where you are at the moment, we need to go back a bit and understand, how did Flakebake come into being?
You know what? The story goes quite way back, since 2008. So my dad, who, when he came to the UK, worked with my Uncle Trevor in a bakery. So he always loved baking in Jamaica. And he comes to the UK in the late 90s, around 97, 98. And he's learning how to bake on really big ovens, and that's where he kind of crafted his skills. And so after that business closed down, he did lots of various jobs and selling clothes and opening up a clothes shop, you know, just done lots of stuff. And then years and years on, 2008, that very first building that he had worked in that bakery, that premises came up for lease.
Oh, right.
And yeah, and my dad thought, you know what, when back in the days this bakery was a really good business, I think I'm going to take it on. You know, I'd never worked in a bakery or anything like that, but I was always helping my dad in his businesses. So, you know, if he said it was the bakery he's going to try it, you know, I was going to be there with him. So he started that, and it was sort of Caribbean takeaway as well as a bakery. And, you know, they're doing bread and things like that. Eventually he got someone that could make patties, and that's how patties started within that bakery. I went off to uni, and while I was at uni, back and forth, always helping in the bakery. And ultimately, we decided to take the patties and then set up a business out of that. And the idea really came from, we could see that Caribbean food was really trending in the UK. It was really, really trending. Levi Roots was doing really big things with Reggae Reggae Sauce, promoting Caribbean food. The World Food section in the supermarkets and the big retailers was expanding, more Caribbean products in there. And you had people like Usain Bolt and in athletics, and they were doing really well. So again, putting Jamaica on the map, and I thought it would have been a good time to, you know, kind of establish a patty business. I guess finally, you had people like Island Delight and Port Royal. I could see them in major retailers, and that kind of gave me a hint that there must be a demand for patties. So come 2012, we started to search for a building. We got a building. I then went off to do my master's and then came back, and we started running Flakebake Limited, you know, as a patty supplier in South London.
One thing you've touched on is authenticity. There are a lot of people who are inspired by Jamaican food, but are not necessarily practitioners.
With patties, as you said, many people are out there doing patties. I think one of the key things about our business when we started, it's not like my dad was a patty maker, I was a patty maker. We got people who had been making patties, not in the UK, but since they were in Jamaica, people who worked in some of the bigger name patty businesses. So they really knew how to make a patty. So over time, all we did, we simply put these people together and built a team of true patty experts and who knew how to make a patty. So it's not like people that came and learned to make a patty here. They were making patties since Jamaica, a lot of them. some of them before I was born, to be quite frank. And so I was never an expert in patties. And, you know, I was kind of like the schoolboy that came in and said, I'm going to run this business. You know, I own half of it. So my task is to make this business a success. But what I really had to learn how to do is, how do I get the best out of these people that had, a lot of them made patties before. They would make patties by themselves in a small bakery, you know. But now they had to work in a team and learn how to make patties together. And we had to build a system that could supply our local takeaways and shops, because that was and has been my market ever since. We are the backbone to these small Caribbean takeaways and restaurants. You know, if there's a funeral or wedding in the community, we are who people come to because they want Jamaican patties. And on top of that, when my dad had the bakery, he was doing bread, he was doing bun, bulla. You know, he had the Caribbean food, your jerk chicken, rice and peas, curry goat, oxtail, fried fish, whatever it is, we were making it in that place. So I wanted to become an expert in what I was doing. So we only make patties, only patties. We do cocoa bread as well, because it's a staple that goes with a patty and cocoa bread.
And we need to explain that there are a lot of things that are being mentioned here, a lot of West Indian delicacies, which you may be able to look up online. And if you have access to Levi Roots's book, he basically goes through those as well. And I think what you're saying is, by stopping the diversification and basically concentrating on that one particular item, is what changed the game for you guys.
Absolutely, because we became patty experts. We became experts in patties, and you know, all we speak about, we talk about, you know, it's just patties. And we were doing things that I don't know if other people did. So we would start documenting what would go wrong, what went well, what, you know, what's causing things to happen. And bear in mind, we are just guys. We just had guys making patties. We weren't experts at the time when we started. They could make a patty, but now coming in from a master's that looked at process management and process improvement, you know, kind of lean manufacturing, here we are trying to implement, or here I am trying to implement things in a handmade process, which was always going to be difficult. But over time, the people started to, you know, kind of draw towards what I was saying. And we made the production so lean that we were able to, the time we were taking to make 2,000 patties, we now can make 4,000 in the same amount of time, because we've just become so efficient in what we do. Most people wouldn't be making this amount of patty by hand, but it's because we're good at what we're doing. And so the product itself is authentic in the way it's made, the people who are making it. But also, again, we didn't know anything about preservatives. So we're never using any sort of preservative. We were just using your Scotch bonnet peppers, your spring onions, your thyme, garlic. And this is what was forming the base of our patties in terms of flavor. And it's the same that goes in Caribbean food. You don't cook without these things. And so the product tasted as close as you could get in Jamaica. And essentially what we've tried to show people, but especially now in a wider market, you do not need to fly to Jamaica to buy a patty. You just don't need to do that, because we're doing it in a way that replicates it in Jamaica. So you don't need to fly all that way, because it is an authentic patty.
Well, on behalf of the Jamaican High Commission, I would say eat one of the flake baked patties first, then fly to Jamaica.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, they've had my patties. They were very, very pleased. They were very fresh. And as a result, I've met them within the space of 2 weeks. I've met them four times. So clearly I'm doing something right. They didn't know who I was before. But yes, that's the foundation to what makes our patty so good. It's authentic.
Excellent. So now I'd like to move on to the transition, because you are now known nationwide. You've been on the TV, you've been on billboards, social media, etc. How did you get to be on Aldi's Next Big Thing?
Oh, there is some prerequisites to this, which it's not within the question, but I'll talk about it. So we have been around since 2012, like I said, and I want to talk about 2008, because we weren't Flake Bake. My dad had a bakery, but 2012 we set up Flake Bake. So it's been 12 years, and it's been a long journey of just establishing ourselves on the market. And I really didn't think, like, the players knew about us. You know, the bigger companies, but they do. I've met them now, and they told me that they knew of me even before the show. So we were doing good things. You know, we were one of the we supplied the vendors to Notting Hill, and we were last year for Notting Hill Carnival. We had manufactured 40,000 handmade patties in that week. So we started to do numbers. You know, as time went on, so people, the vendors knew who we were because we're supplying B2B, but the end users didn't know our brand, you know, and that was fine for me because my market was businesses, B2B. And as long as the businesses knew who we were, that's what was important. But that said, business was quite tough coming out of COVID. You know, there was a time when we were closed and then we operated 1 day a week and 2 day a week, and then we built ourselves back up. And coming out of COVID, I thought, well, we've got all these COVID loans and stuff. Costs are going up. How, you know, financially, this doesn't make sense. So do we go on for another couple of years and try and close down or sell the business? Because I've got lots of aspirations and there's stuff I could be doing otherwise. And, you know, I've devoted such a long time of my life already. So this was sort of back end of 2022. And so it's been a decade at that point. And then I decided that I'm going to take some risk. And before I took risk doing something else, I thought, let me use what I've got first. And I'd received a message at the end of December 2022 that I hadn't opened for months, just hadn't opened. And it was 6 months later, I opened that message because I wanted to reach out to that friend. And it was that link to Aldi's Next Big Thing. And she said, I think you should look at this. I think it'd be really good for you. So I see it and I checked the link, and I had a few days to go for the deadline. And I started the application and I thought, I'll go back on deadline day because it's quite long. Deadline day comes, I go back to the application and the deadline's been extended. I thought, you know what, this must be a sign. So now I can give this application a good go. And so I started from there, and I didn't have a website, even though we've been going for so many years, didn't have a website. And so I teamed up with my uncle Levar, who worked in marketing, and I said, hey, I'm doing this application, don't tell anybody, but I need you to help me quickly put a website together. And we put the website together within a week, and I applied. A few days in, I got a phone call. It was from the production company, wanted to interview me. Interview went well. They said, okay, we need to do another sort of Zoom interview where you pitch to us, and we submit it to Channel 4. And I told them, my dad's not here. And they said, well, you need to get him on because we like to do it in pairs. So, you know, like two business owners, etc. So I called my dad and I said, that thing I told you about, they want to interview us. And he was like, he was nervous. So he was like, oh, I can't, son, you do it. You do it. I was like, no, we're going to do it together. So I managed to get Zoom on his phone in Jamaica. And then we do the Zoom interview. It went fantastically well. And a bunch of other things went on for the next month in terms of processes and trying to see if we would fit and we would work and do we meet the requirements. And then they said, okay, you make it to the TV pitch. And so that's how it all went on. And I guess I can say, if you've seen the show, we went on, we pitched. The competition was quite stiff, very nervous. I'd never pitched before. There are people there with Great Taste Awards. You know, I'd never applied for anything like that, but I've heard of it before. And so, yeah, when they selected us for the finals, I was, yeah, we were overjoyed. We were grateful because we prayed a lot and stuff. But then I said to my dad, you know what? Whatever happens, I'm going to change our lives. I'm going to take us out of what we've been doing the last 12 years. You know, I'm going to make things different. And that was on our way back from that first pitch. And they set us a couple of tasks. You need to get packaging and you need to extend the product shelf life. So I went off and did all these things. They probably didn't think I was going to do it because they did say to me, Aldi, but if you don't get it, if you do win, you get a lot of support with that. But, you know, I went off and I was working really hard and I managed to do the things that they required. And so when we won, it just, yeah, it felt like all the work that I'd put in was worth it, you know? It was just amazing.
You know, there are a couple of unsung heroes, or not necessarily unsung, but who were mentioned in the program. And I'm going to come back to your dad in a minute because I've got a special thing about him. But Uncle Levar. Yeah, Uncle Levar was popular in our house because he just came in just real cool, just did the graphic design, made it happen. And what I liked and what I enjoyed immensely about this was the way that the family worked together.
Mm.
Now, families and business sometimes don't always go very well together. And sometimes it ends badly. It doesn't matter what the situation is. And for every to see everybody pitching in for the betterment of the whole enterprise was fantastic to see. And to me, that is really quite joyous feeling. It gave me a bit of a buzz because I'm thinking, look at them all working together because they all believe that this is something that is going to be of a great benefit, not just to the individuals involved, but to everybody outside of it. And that to me was something that I thought, yeah, that's what people need to see. They need to see that.
Yeah, you're right. I think that it was very important that people saw the community working together. Do you know what? There was just moments when Levar's a devout Christian and we had very deep conversations and we would talk about, you know, something special is happening here, what we're doing. And, you know, no one knew what we were working on. It was just me and him for a start. You know, my dad obviously knew I applied, but the website and things like that, you know, the packaging, it's just me and him working on this stuff. We've never had packaging before. So, yeah, Levar is a really special character. We grew up as brothers in Jamaica. So to have him on this journey with me was quite special. He worked in the business when we started up. So when I was doing my master's, he was kind of just the person, the figurehead in place. And, you know, I was trying to run the business through him when I was doing my master's at Warwick. And so, yeah, he's been there from the beginning in Jamaica growing up to when I set this business up. And yeah, it was special to have him because he did work. He's working for a really good company, but he made the time to help me work on this project on the side. And yeah, we both knew that if we did it well, it was going to be something special. And it really has been because, you know, when Julie picked up that packaging, she even though we didn't use it in the end, she picked it up and she said, as soon as you see it, you know what you're buying. And she loved it. So he did an amazing job and he continues to work on stuff for us. So yeah, Levi is a very special person to me.
And also the relationship between you and your father, which is very significant because you described him as an old school Jamaican man. And in a sense, that may be to you, as I said, because it's your dad. But to me, that was slightly different because I knew some old school Jamaican men, old school. And the key thing is your dad listens.
Yeah.
That's what's unique about your dad. And that's why that relationship as an observer works because he listens. He trusts your judgment. And when you're dealing with the old, old school Jamaican guys, they weren't as trustworthy with their children's judgment.
No, you're right. But do you know what's funny? It's been 12 years, so you guys have seen all the best parts now. But that definitely took some training and some time to get him to become that way. And he's transformed so much. And so the description that I made, I still think it's true in terms of his mannerisms and you know, just his kind of conservativeness with a small C, which you get, you know, and his belief systems and stuff. A lot of, you know, how he disciplines kids and, you know, it helped me to become what I am today. So I'm saying it because I know it's true. But what you guys are witnessing is just this guy who has put a lot of trust in his son to say, I believe that you can make the right decisions. And it's worked out the best way for him and myself. So, no, it's fantastic.
What? I think it's fantastic because when you know that your parents trust you, and this is the thing about family businesses, most family businesses break down because there is that big chasm, this big lacuna between a father and son or mother and daughter or uncle and aunt or whatever, whoever it is that's running the business. And I think that's really important because all of that drives the direction. It shows that you're moving as a steady ship going in one direction, you know, and that's fantastic. I mean, when I look at what you've achieved so far, it must be something that you know within your mind that you've gone away, you've done your master's, you've come back into help and with everybody, with Levar, your father, and all the people that work in the business, trying to move that stuff, and the fact that you've moved that needle in such a way, it's taken you into overdrive. How does that feel now?
When I started the business, it was sort of saying to the people that, listen, I'm going to take the business to a different space and work from what you've known it, because we didn't have a lot of structure and, you know, rules and regulations and stuff. So I really needed to put some stuff in place. And also it ties into what you spoke about the relationship with me and my dad. Normally what happens is a father, mother or parent, whoever, hands a business down to someone after like 20, 30 years or a long time of maybe success or even just difficult times and said, okay, I'll show you how to run it. But this was a different situation. It was me and my dad coming up with an idea. We're taking his product, his patties, and I'm setting up a separate business. So I'm about to develop something from not from scratch, because the product's already there, but I'm going to build what we've got. So it's very different. So instead of my dad telling me, it was me saying, oh, this is what we're going to do, or this needs to happen. So that's why the relationship worked so well, because I was saying to him, this is what we need to do. But I guess if it was him having to tell me, it would be a slightly different relationship. But it worked, because he understood that what we were doing before didn't really work. But now my son is going to come, he's going to own half the business, and he's going to make it what it is. And so I started off by saying to the people, we're going in this direction, and you can choose to come or you can just leave, but I want you to come. But you have to be focused, you have to be ready. And like I said, we started to grow within that space. But when the show came about, a number of things had happened that sort of built my hunger. So that time when we sold 40,000 patties during Carnival, I thought, well, surely I can't close the business. I need to expand. And also, I learned about getting support from co-manufacturers. And then I thought, well, if you can get support to co-manufacture a product, then surely I can even go even further with this business, because someone's going to help, you know, I can get support from that. And then the third thing is the local competitor, First Choice Bakery, who'd been around for 30 years. They'd been around for 30 years, you know, like a foundation in the community. They were closing down.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, if they're closing down, I'm about to go on TV and I just sold 40,000 patties, then I'm definitely doing something right. So now my hunger has expanded in a way it's never, never been. So I've got two kids, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, I need to expand this business on so many different levels. I won't have time for anybody. So I say to my wife, listen, we need to have a conversation, because we travel all the time. You know, we travel for like 2 months a year. That can't happen now, because I'm on a mission to do something quite major. And she didn't like the sound of that.
Any woman would, but that's not, let me tell you that for free.
Yeah, exactly. So here we are, I've worked for 12 years, and, you know, we have a fairly, you know, we're privileged to have the life that we have. So all of a sudden I'm telling her that, no, I'm going to work 3 or 4 times as hard as I ever did, because I think, you know, I found my purpose and I've got a mission here. And my dad, if he was here on the call, he'd have been telling me what I saw might happen to us. He said, I don't even know what happened, but you found this drive I've never, and it meant I was just going nonstop day and night, working, reaching out to people on LinkedIn. So we set up Instagram in September, and I'm on LinkedIn and I'm working with everybody, trying to get people to know who I was. And so everything that people are seeing happening now, it was all a part of my long-term strategy, which was, firstly, I need to get people to know about Flake Bake, but not just to know it, know that I've been doing it for 12 long years, and it's not something that's just going to pop up on the TV. Right. So I needed to get them to know about Flake Baked patties and how we make patties, because it's unique. Most people don't make patties in this way. Secondly, I needed people to know about what we were doing, which was going to be on TV, Aldi's Next Big Thing. And then thirdly, I needed people to know where we were going to go next. And so that I needed the help of social media. And the first person that came down was this girl called Dining on Date Nights. Her name's Afia, an incredible influencer, and she came down and she did our first video of the process, and that video had got 100,000 views, which I thought, this is massive because, you know, we are nobody. No one knows us. And we gained about 1,000 followers from that back in September. And what that did, it brought a lot of individuals down to the factory, which wasn't really my aim because I'm not trying to sell individual patties. I'm B2B. What I want is people to be aware. So after that, I thought, I'm not going to get anyone else down for a while. I'll just wait until the time's right, and then I get someone else. And the gentleman called Todd, if you've seen our viral video with Eating with Todd, I spoke to him when I was in Jamaica in December and said, you know, I've got this idea of you coming down, et cetera, et cetera, and doing a video, but we need to do it when the time is right. And he agreed. And we didn't speak for the next three months. Yeah, we didn't speak for the next 3 months. And when we agreed, it was just the weekend before Boxing Day, so the bank holiday weekend. I never work on bank holidays, never. But that's the only day he was free, Good Friday. And I said to the team, we're going to have to work. You know, they came in, Todd came down, we make this video. And by bank holiday Monday, April Fool's, he said, I'm going to post it. And we make some edits to it and he posted it. And again, I knew something special was going to happen because in the first hour, it had about 200,000 views. And I thought, what is going on?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And by after the end of day one, 650,000 people had seen that video. And I thought, okay, this is going to be special. And then people started sending me the video.
Yeah.
And 4 days in, over 2 million views across Instagram and TikTok. I didn't realize it was also on Facebook. It was on YouTube. So it was across many platforms. And so many people were turning up from all over the UK to the factory. Again, something this time I had agreed. I said, let everybody come because now I want people to know about the product. And what's going to happen is on the night of the show, you can make a post about us being on the show. And then the following day, we'll tell everybody to go to Aldi to buy the patties.
Yeah.
So that's what Todd and I agreed. And it really did work.
Brilliant.
It really worked. But when we said to people, go and buy the patties sold out within 48 hours. And I was blown away by this stuff. They couldn't believe it.
What's going to be your relationship with Aldi going forward?
The future should remain bright.
Great.
We've just had Tesco down. So we just had a meeting with Tesco, which is amazing. And so what we're trying to do is work with the right co-packer to get the patties back out on the shelves as soon as possible. No one thought it was going to sell this fast. I thought we would have sold off in a week, not in 48 hours. So we're trying to get the product back out there as soon as possible on a sort of wider scale in retailers. And then in the meantime, people can always buy a handmade one because we've now got a website where you can order directly to your home, nationwide delivery, free nationwide delivery. So people can try our authentic handmade patty still.
And what's the website?
At www.flakebake.co.uk. And you can just buy your patties. They get delivered straight to your door. And yeah, both businesses are expanding. So on the sort of retail side, we're expanding. We're hoping to go to different retailers. But we have so much support from Aldi that it's amazing because it keeps these 15 people, this team, you can't replicate it. So I'm doing my absolute best to keep both sides of the business alive. The handmade stuff is what made us who we are. So we can't forget it. While at the same time, I can see the impact and power of getting people to eat patty who had never tasted a patty before.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest joy I have, trying to educate the masses about patty. And that is the aim, to continue to educate the masses in the UK about patty. And then we look to take that across Europe and further afield.
Brilliant. So we want to help you with that. So we're hoping to get you back on for a full-on a cash flow show, a program where you can tell us all about the intricacies of the business, how it's going for you up until that particular point, and maybe a word from your father as well, even if you have to link up live from Jamaica. So we'll work something out.
Absolutely. We have to get my dad on.
Yeah, definitely.
Do a jingle for his Flakebake song.
definitely. I thought he was Chakademus and Pliers for it. I thought you were going to start. We need to wrap up now. But all I can say is Mike Williams, co-founder of Flakebake and winner of the Channel 4 program Aldi's Next Big Thing. Thank you for joining us on the Cashflow Show in association with Podcast Radio Business.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I hope to speak to you again soon.
Most definitely, sir. Thank you very much.